You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What do you do when a loved one needs some extra care? Where is the appropriate place to turn to? Is it skilled nursing? Maybe independent living? Assisted living? The list goes on and on. What do you do if your loved one has no money to pay for this? Well, today, Karen Adair is going to give us the insight we need to go through this maze and ensure that our loved one gets the help they need. Welcome to Baby Boomer University. Class is in session. Hi, this is Rich Sparks, Senior Real Estate Specialist for Keller Williams Realty and the broker owner of Time to Downsize, your relocation company for seniors. Now, we have an awesome person here today. Karen, thanks so much for taking your time to come out.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And tell us a little, we're going to start right off, and I want folks to know a little bit about your background, because your background is what adds to you being such a specialist to give us all this information today. So tell us a little bit how you got into this.
Yep, absolutely. So my background, though, is 22 years at a law firm. But after that, I decided to change careers and get into the healthcare field. And it started by selling the emergency alert button for seniors. After that, okay. I was into private duty home care. I was into skilled home care, where the PT and OT come to the home. And then
now,
I was...
What's PT?
Physical therapy and occupational therapy.
Okay.
They come to your home if you are homebound. And then after that, I opened a building in Sterling Heights called My Doctor's Inn. And I was there for 4 years and learned a lot in all of those fields, educating people on where to go, what to do, those types of things.
Which then itself is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's like anything. When you just don't know what to do, the frustration and stress just goes nuts.
Exactly.
So, and now your current company, tell us a little bit about what you do now. It's pretty cool.
So it's kind of interesting. You know, as a marketer, being in a building, I always wanted the nurses and social workers to come into our building. So I started having these continuing education classes in the building. So what a great opportunity for them to come in, get a class for free. We'd serve them dinner, and then they would view our building. So I was kind of thinking, how can I do this as a full-time job? And so I started doing my homework, and then that's what happened, is I kind of went part-time working at the building and doing my business. And then now I do continuing education classes throughout the Tri-County area in all of these different communities, so that their communities can be highlighted by and be seen by the social workers and nurses.
Okay.
And then they're able to refer their patients to the buildings.
Very neat. Which brings to your expertise that it's not only – Your personal background, it's all the places you visit.
Exactly.
In addition to that, the instructors, because you don't instruct all the classes yourself. So all these instructors that you surround yourself are specialized in their niche.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to gain all their knowledge too, right?
Absolutely. That's how I've, I'm not a social worker or a nurse.
Right.
So I've learned so much in the healthcare field just by going to my own classes. So it's a win-win for everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to start off by kind of touching on all the different places.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would like to do is kind of break it down for folks, because we're going to resegment this out. So we're going to pick one, talk about the signs of the person and when they might this might be something they need to look into, or how they go about getting in there. Talk about what to look for in that particular type, whether it's independent living or whatnot. And last but not least, how the heck to pay for it.
Yes.
Because that's a big one.
Yes.
So why don't we start off with, because I want to check these off as I go here. Let's start off with skilled nursing facilities.
Yes.
You know, so right off the bat, when you have a loved one, what are the signs that a skilled nursing facility might be appropriate for them?
So it's let's start out by what people call a skilled nursing facility.
Sure.
A convalescent home,
mm-hmm.
a nursing home, a rehab center. So those are that lingo is what our, age range.
Right.
You know, people in their 60s and their 70s and their 50s, that's what they've called them.
Sure.
And they get confused, like, well, you know, I have an aunt or an uncle that mm-hmm. they lived in a nursing home. how do you live in a nursing home? And the government paid for that.
Right.
Why can't my parent go do that? Well, it's, you know, let's back it up now. It's 2019. And what happens is a lot of these places are either called, you know, they're called skilled nursing facilities, but in that skilled nursing facility, some of them are short-term rehab.
Sure.
And then there's long-term care. And the short-term rehab is about you go into the hospital, you stayed there 3 days, and then you go into rehab, or if you're even in the hospital longer, but you have to have a minimum of 3 days, then you go into a short-term rehab. You're there anywhere between, most of the time, 21 days. That's what Medicare pays for. And then it goes into, because some people will say, well, my parents, sometimes they can just stay there for 120 days. Unfortunately, that's not the case anymore.
Right.
A lot of people think that, but there is a time that there can be. They have to re-qualify. Mm-hmm. And after that 21 days and Medicare is finished, then you you get paid for, you will have it paid for by your secondary insurance. Okay. A lot of people don't have secondary insurances. You just assume they do because maybe they worked for the big three, which some of them do. Some of them are that are self-employed. They've never thought about that. I have Medicare. That's all I need. But that secondary insurance kicks in. So that's short-term rehab in a skilled nursing facility.
And that's something a doctor would prescribe.
Yes, that all has to go through the doctor and the insurance companies and all that too. So that's one part of it. Then there's the part of it that's called the long-term care. That is when you're not in a hospital. Sometimes you go from a hospital into long-term care, but that usually happens after you've been in the hospital 3 and 4 times within a 6 months range, and they see that they need more care, and then they go to the family and say, okay, it's time for your loved one to go into a community or a facility, and they can't stay at home anymore.
Right.
And the kids go, they don't have any money.
Right.
All they have is their Social Security, which is... $1,100 maybe a month. They have no pension and their house is paid for.
Right.
And that's a whole nother gamut on what you have to do. I always instruct people to, you know, talk to an attorney because
same here.
Yeah. Because I'm not the expert on that. I have to say, I know a little bit about that.
Enough to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Like me.
And I just, I just don't want to overwhelm them. And then because everybody's different.
Oh, yeah. And going back to that real quick, talk to the right attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Someone that specializes in elder.
Absolutely.
Law.
That is key.
It is key.
Yeah. So. Don't go to a divorce attorney.
No,
to talk about elder law.
right. Because it can make a world of difference.
Absolutely, yes.
So basically, let's just to look a little bit back on this. So the skilled nursing facility is something that the doctor's going to prescribe.
Yep.
They have to go through a certain process. It's short term. How many days was it?
So they have to stay in the hospital at least 3 days before they qualify to go into a short term rehab.
All right.
Now, little side note on that, there are some secondary insurances that will bypass the 3 days. Like my mom, she had this insurance, her secondary insurance. You didn't have to have 3 days in the hospital. You only needed 1 day.
All right.
So that allowed her to go in anyway. So,
but you're not going from the home to that.
No, you're going always from the hospital to rehab.
All right.
Yes, correct. Okay. Mm-hmm. The only time you ever go from the home to rehab is when you've already been in rehab and within 30 days you get a readmission.
Oh, okay.
Then you're able to go back in to the rehab. And you, of course, have to qualify for that as well.
Sure, sure. And people have a choice of which one they go to.
Absolutely, yes.
So what would be the things if your mom, dad was going to go to one of these, what would be the things you would personally look for?
Well, there's three things that happen in a nursing home or a skilled nursing facility. Right. So it's nursing, it's rehab, and it's the aides. Those are the three people that are taking care of you.
Okay.
So when you want to get educated on what are the status of those three components? Are they, you know, you could be great at PT or physical therapy and occupational therapy in the community.
Sure.
But the nursing, maybe they are a little laxed on that, or they're a little laxed on the, you know, the care, what do you call it? Patient care techs, they call them. They have a different names in different communities.
And those are the people doing the day-to-day.
Yeah, taking you to the restroom, taking you down to the to dinner and your breakfast, lunch. If you can't have it, if you're not able to have it in your room, they take you down. They take you, not really necessarily to physical therapy. Sometimes they do. But if you want to go to an activity, you want to get your hair done, those types of things, right, they kind of roll you around or walk you through the community to get to those places. And, but they're basically with you 24 hours. When you pull that cord, they're the ones that are coming in to check on you. So
now, one of the suggestions we always make to folks is if you have a loved one in a skilled nursing facility, stop by and visit unannounced.
Well, that's another little disclaimer I tell people all the time, because they always call me for recommendations. A lot of people do, because I'm in these communities all the time doing classes. You have to be the eyes and ears of your for your family member. Highly, highly suggest that. Don't visit them once a week. You have to go, I'm sorry to say, every single day, whether it's for an hour or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And you will know what has happened when your loved one looks at you and says, I need to leave this place, or they're doing this wrong, or they won't listen to me, or they have issues, or they have problems. You know, I hear a lot of, you know, some complaints about, you know, some communities is that I needed to go to the bathroom, but they wouldn't let me get up by myself. But I know I can get up by myself, but they won't let me get up. And then I had to wait a long time for that caregiver to come in and help me, you know, and these people have to realize that's not the only person they're taking care of. These caregivers taking care of six, and that's the other thing to ask. How many patients is this caregiver taking care of?
That's
is
a great question.
Is it six? Is it 10? Is it 20?
Right.
I mean, I know there was years ago. I don't think it's like this now because there's so much competition out there. Mm-hmm. There was 20 beds per one caregiver.
Well, I've seen it change in the last decade tremendously.
Yes.
But, you know, and that's a good point. So, like, we're dealing with a client right now who has lost control. She's had the two doctor certs.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to talk with her, her adult child is just doing terrible things. Well, she's not.
Mm.
You know, so you have to really balance what the loved one is saying to
absolutely. Sure.
And I think just breaking up those times you're coming in and not saying, okay, every day after work from 5:10 to 5:20, I'll stop by.
Yeah.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, I would go as early in the morning before you go to work. If you can do it on a lunch hour, if you could do it in the evening, you know, those are great times just to kind of break them up. And you can go in early in the morning. They don't stop you because there's somebody there that can buzz you in. So it's not a problem.
And it's changed dramatically from 20, 30 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
So the horror stories that people saw, you know, I always use this one flew over the cuckoo's nest type scenario.
That was a mental behavioral health
kind of
community back then.
It was. Right. It was a little different. And because in Macomb County and Oakland County, we have some great places now. Wouldn't you say?
We do. And, you know, a lot of people will say, you know, I go into these places and I see these people sitting in their wheelchairs by the
they were just sat there looking at
the
TV
and they're sleeping
window.
And they're drooling and they're just kind of like, here's what happens. This is why they're sitting by the nurse's station is because they're probably somehow they have a dementia. Or they have something that they're going to get out of bed and they're falling and they have to be watched all the time. One of the things that I wish they would do in rehabs and in hospitals is designate areas for those type of people and have those people specialized training in that dementia.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, they really need to do that because they will put a demented person with somebody that just has a regular UTI that's really, they could be a little demented because the infection is in them. But the other thing, they're not that bad because they're getting the antibiotics. They're getting better.
Right.
And then they're still in the hospital for 2-3 days with this person next to them that is screaming for help 24 hours.
In a shared room.
In a shared room. So it's very sad that they do that. And I think some places are starting to segregate and divide and get the training and the people that are, but it still needs a lot of work.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I know some places we've talked with before, when night frights are a real huge issue.
Yeah.
They have some separation there, but that might not come for a long time. And if your mom or dad's in that room and someone screaming from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too is the sundowners. I don't know if you're familiar with sundowners
at
all.
No, what's that?
So sundowners happens starting around 3-4 o'clock every day. Mm-hmm. And the person feels, who has dementia, mm-hmm. the person feels that they're reversed in their day and night situation.
Okay.
So even though, like with the time change, it's still staying lighter longer,
right.
but at 6 o'clock at night, when in the wintertime, when it's getting darker, they think it's morning. So they start acting out and they get very frustrated and they need to go home because it's getting dark out, or they're trying to find
wow.
their loved one, or their kids are coming off the school bus. And it's just so sad to see them. And they're just so anxious. And you learn techniques to calm them down. And that's where I'm saying that's where these caregivers need to have the special training
sure.
in the hospitals and the skilled nursing facilities. Yeah.
Now, does your company offer those types of trainings, or is that outside of the realm of what you do?
No, correct. There is a little bit of training that I do mm-hmm. Have a couple of classes on dementia
okay.
for the nurses. But everything's changing all the time, so I'm always I always have to change my classes to update my services.
Never ends, does it?
No.
Okay, so we're going to go from let's go from the skilled nursing facilities, which here again, let's recap it real quick because mm-hmm. we're going to chunk these off.
Yeah.
One doctor has to sign and you go.
Yep.
Depending on your insurance.
Yes.
It'll determine how
yes.
long, and check your insurance.
Yep.
And thirdly, check out the place first.
Absolutely.
It's your choice.
You can. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now we're going to move to the other realm and talk a little bit about independent living.
Yes.
Because some of these are like resorts. I want to move into some of them already.
So independent living can be a double-edged sword, though.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them are independent, that you are moving in because you don't want to cut the grass anymore. You don't want to shovel the snow. You don't want to fix any more repairs in the house.
Right.
You are there to have the luxury of somebody cooking for you. You're still doing your own laundry.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you still have somebody that comes in and cleans for you once a week.
Sure.
Okay. So that's independent living. Now, it's aging in place. You're in independent living, and independent living, by the way, is private pay. All of
yes.
the following that we're going to be talking about now is all private pay. And so from independent living, mom's forgetting to take her medications. Do I move her out? What do I do?
Right.
Do I have to go there every day and give her medications? No. A couple of things can happen. You can bring in your own service to do that
mm-hmm.
and pay for that service, which is called private duty services. You can have them come in and give out the medications. Or most of the time they have a company in-house that you can have them come in. Of course, that's the most convenient. It's probably less money. They charge you a package to add that on.
Right.
So here's where the decline happens. So you're independent, you come in, and you are enjoying life. You're having your happy hour. You've got your little wine from 3 to 5 every day.
Did your bus tour of the mall?
Well, no, I was going to say still driving.
Oh, but they have those activities.
Yep.
Where
yes, and they have the activities too. But there's also, you know, you can still have your vehicle there,
sure.
And you're going to your own doctor's appointments, or maybe your loved one's taking you a doctor's appointment, whatever, and then you could still stay there. Then all of a sudden, forgets to take the medication. Then you notice they're not bathing as much anymore.
Right.
And then you notice that they're wearing the same clothes all the time. And then they say, okay, mom's declining. Do we have to move her out? Well, those added services can be, you go to the concierge or your salesperson and say, I need to add services. I notice, mom didn't go down to dinner, or mom didn't go to breakfast. And this is independent living. So those
right.
people in there, when you're in independent living, they do not have to check on your loved one, because you are independent. The front
sure.
door is wide open, unlocked, and they
yep.
can walk out whenever they want to, because it's independent living. And I want to talk about that, because people are like, well, this is why I'm paying you. This is why my mom's here. No. Independent living, independent living is independent living.
Right.
So
not like they're trying to hide it in the name.
Yeah, right. Exactly, exactly. But then there's the children who are in denial.
Oh, sure.
And they are living there, and all of a sudden mom's dementia has progressed a lot. Or the other thing, getting a urinary tract infection, which is also known as a UTI. Those little things, you can be independent, get a urinary tract infection, and then you are out that door, and people will say, why didn't you say something? Well, she always was going out the door. She was going for her walk. She would come back. She would get in her car. She would come back. You know, I did not know she had a urinary tract infection. We're going to get into urinary tract infections in a second, because that's usually the key why they're moving out of the house. But I'll get into that in a minute.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yes, it is. So independent living is, that's what independent living is.
And having that expectation that it's a great place to increase socialization. It's a great place for meal preps. They usually have a lot of activities. But the key is, like you said, in the word independent.
Yes.
And you have to decide. And the ancillary services, the medical ancillary services most of them offer, that's an outside company that's housed inside.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a great option. But you're right. And here again, visit.
Yes. Oh, you always want to go on a tour. The other thing, too, is private pay. Mm-hmm. You have to see what you can afford.
Long term,
exactly. Because they're going in there for a reason. Quick story. My mother went into an assisted living for 6 months. And she kept saying, I want to be home for my 90th birthday. I want to be home for my 90th birthday. My brother caved. And he took her home for her 90th birthday.
Aw.
She celebrated it in October. We moved her back home in June. Celebrated in October. And between October and January 1, she fell five times. It broke my heart.
Yes.
My brother kept saying, Mom wanted to stay home. Mom wanted to stay home. And I just was like, really, Jack? She's hurting herself. We can't do this. And so, therefore, her last visit to the hospital, the doctor said, you cannot go home. And unfortunately, she was there 3 years after that, and then she passed there. But it was just breaking my heart.
Sure.
And but when the doctor said, okay, you can't go home, then my brother's like, okay, Mom, you can't go home. That's
That's what it takes sometimes.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I knew a lot of people in the hospital. This was, you know, in Warren, and I would say to them, please say that they can't. I didn't even have to say it this time.
Well, it almost comes back to like when you're raising your kids and your kid's 12 years old and people would go, oh, you can't do anything. They're you know, 12, 13. They're teenagers. So you can't do. Oh, yes, I can.
Right.
You know, trust me.
Yeah, right.
If my son or daughter acts out, you
know, right.
Bad things happen.
Yes, yes.
So, and it's the same way. It comes to that point when that parent gets to that point. And it is a fine line, because a lot of times the parents don't want to listen to the adult children because they still see you as that teenager.
Yes.
But if necessary, talk to your doctor. Let the doctor know before you're coming in there, hey, this is what's going on.
Yep.
And when it comes from a doctor, they tend to.
Well, my mom wouldn't listen. My brother did. She didn't want to go.
Do you know what's funny is we'll go into a lot of places and start that downsizing process.
Sure.
And it's, I couldn't tell you how many times once we leave the house, the adult children almost chase us down and go, you know, we've been telling them that for years and they wouldn't listen to us. And it's like, because I'm not your kid. I'm not their kid.
They're right.
You know,
they start believing it once other people are outside of their kids are telling them the same thing. Then it's like, I think we should listen to our kids and agree with this guy and let's, you know, move on our way.
Well, I don't know this guy. He's dressed in a suit, but I remember you. You ate paste one time.
Yes.
So I don't know if I'm going to listen to you.
Right.
So we'll see. But that's great things to look at. So independent living price ranges can go anywhere from $2,000 to $15,000 a month. You know, they can go pretty skyrocketing.
I have to say, though, 15,000 is pretty much is stretching it. I mean, if maybe you're out in Oakland County in one of those fancy ones, but in...
Well, there's a couple now that have actually where you have a shared workspace where...
Oh, yes.
You have, and we know some folks that's done it.
Yeah.
Where they have signage in Birmingham. They have their office
correct.
Now there and their living space
yes.
within a... And that's when you can really hit. But I've had several clients go into 7-8 a month.
Yes. Can agree with you on that.
Yeah. Then there's some, you can find some really nice places in Metro Detroit for around two.
Well, and there's some people that they live in an independent living and they go to Florida in the wintertime. They don't have, and they just
and they
pay
keep
their
it?
Rent.
Seriously?
And they pay, oh, absolutely. They pay their rent monthly and they have their place, but they don't have to worry about anybody taking care of it.
No, that's for sure.
So they'll pay, you know, they'll keep the minimal because it's maybe $2,000 a month.
Right.
But that's what they can afford. And they live there in the summer or in the winter, in the summertime in Michigan. And then they go down to Florida for the wintertime.
Really?
Yes.
I've never had any do that, but I could see it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And the thing to keep in mind for folks listening that if they were to give up that room for the few months and it gets filled, they might not have a spot when they come back.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. They, and a lot of these places have a 1-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in independent living, they do have a 1-year contract. Most of them do. And you have to give 30 days notice when you move mm-hmm. out. But that's different when it comes to assisted living and memory care.
Right. So the thing to keep in mind with independent living is it is independent.
Mm-hmm.
So they can come and your loved ones can come and go whenever they want. And it's something you still want to be involved in. There's lots of activities that they can get involved in, the socialization level. If they're not that social, they're not forced to do them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an independent living. It's a great option, but you have to keep that in mind. So if you start seeing your loved one decline to the point where it's no longer a good fit,
mm-hmm.
that's when you have to get involved again.
Yep. And that's kind of like, you know, your little way of kind of getting them into independent living mm-hmm. is your easy. They've already got used to living with other people.
Sure.
So that's a great way of breaking them into that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting them in independent living is not so going into an assisted living or a memory care like, oh, I don't want to do that. I mean, and you don't have to. If
sure.
you're able to do a lot of your own things, mm-hmm. you know, activities of daily living on your own, you can live in an independent living until the day you pass away. Hospice can come in and all of that right into an independent
yeah.
living. You don't have to move into another community.
And there's many folks that do that. It's if you haven't had a chance, go check one out. It's really
yeah.
amazing.
Go during a happy hour.
Yeah. Or when they have the DSO there
yes.
or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So we're going to leave now the independent living and step up and just talk a little bit about the differences between independent living, assisted living, and what expectations you should have out of an assisted living place.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So go ahead.
So I'm going to go back to, before we get into that, is the urinary tract infection.
Oh,
because
okay.
this kind of goes hand in hand with assisted living as well. So when I was selling the emergency alert button, I was very new into
which is a great product, by the way.
It is. It is. And a lot of seniors wouldn't think that, but the family loves them because the old button, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, sure. I remember that.
So the senior would be in denial that they needed that. Mm-hmm. But then once, of course, they got it, they were like, thank you. I'm glad I have this now.
Oh, yeah.
If they remember to push the button, because they just panic and they don't know what to do. And unfortunately, they could be laying there for hours. So when I used to sell that button, I used to hear so many different stories from people that I'd get the phone call and I would go out and I would install the machine and I would give them direction on how to use
okay.
it and everything. So I got to hear the story from the family. And then, of course, I'm working with the loved one as well.
Sure.
So on the phone, they'd make the phone call and they would say, Karen, I'm looking into purchasing this for my parents or my mom. She fell. And I'll say, how long was she? And then they'll go into the whole story. She fell. She laid there for 3 days. The police had to come. They had to knock the door down. And
yep.
she was just laying there. And it was so sad and all of that. I go, well, did she break a hip? She goes, no, they didn't break a hip. Now, sometimes they break a hip.
Yeah, I've had clients break hips in that same scenario.
Oh, yeah.
And
that happens more than not. But I go, was she dehydrated and did she have a urinary tract infection? And they'd go, oh, how did you know?
Ah. Okay.
80% of people that fall, if it's not on the ice and they're in their home, it's because they have a urinary tract infection.
Really?
Yes, wow. Because a urinary tract infection is different from your age to their age.
Sure.
What happens is when we have a urinary tract infection, there could be burning, there could be smell, mm-hmm. all of those types of things. And we know something's going on there. Seniors have no side effects or any, what's the word I'm looking for?
Ancillary signs.
No signs. No signs at all of this. They just are, boom, on the ground. They're weak.
Do you know what's funny is I have an old English bulldoggy, okay? at 1 year of age, I mean, he was Mr. I came home and it was playtime. I came home one day from work, my wife, the kids, summertime, he's laying in the floor, doesn't move.
Oh.
And I go, guys, what's going on with, you know, Newton here? And my wife is going, well, he's outside. Maybe he's just overheated. It was a warm day. I go, I don't think so. And we took him to the vet and it was a urinary tract infection.
Oh.
But it went, here's this high energy, and he could not get up. That's my whole experience with that.
Yeah, so, that's interesting. And the dog's only a year old, too. That's very unusual. I mean, I don't know about dogs how that works, but I know with seniors, you know, the other thing, too, is...
But if it could snap the energy out of this pup, literally, high-energy puppy, imagine what it can do to a 67, 76
absolutely. Year old. And so what happens is, you know, you talk to these seniors and they're like, I was just washing dishes and I fell.
Just
right at
gave
the kitchen
out.
Sink and I gave and I couldn't get myself up. I couldn't. So she's like telling me the story. I crawled to the chair and I tried to get myself up on the chair. And then I tried to get a stick and get the phone and knock it off the wall so that it would fall down. And it just breaks my heart when I'm listening to this. And then to find out that she laid there for over 24 hours, I mean, I can tell you some really awful stories that people have passed away because of that. And the other thing is if you have a urinary tract infection, you kind of go loopy. Your mom and dad will start talking very gibberish.
Is that because poison's backing up into their system?
The infection is going to the brain.
Okay.
It can be cured. I mean, you know, with antibiotics, it takes a long time. You can be in the hospital 10 days with a urinary tract infection.
Really?
If they're really a doozy. Because if they're the longer you have it and you don't know it, it can go really into your whole system and then you have to be on the antibiotics.
There's no science going into this.
None at all.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Let's say this. You have a senior who does not eat properly. You know your mom and dad just eat cheese and crackers or oatmeal or something very light and they don't drink their water. And
is that one of the biggest causes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Not drinking their fluids. Mm. You know, maybe just drinking coffee in the morning. What does that do? Dehydrates them.
Right.
So they just think that, I had water with my lunch or I had water with my dinner and it's, you know, not 8 ounces. It's just a little glass because it's so heavy they can't pick it up, you know? So they just don't bother doing it. And so that's what happens is they just decline that way and they think, mom never complains about being hungry because she eats like a bird anyways. But when you're at home, that's a whole, you know, you're not with them all day. They're doing very minimal because they've got a whole house to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
They're washing clothes. They're cleaning the house. They're doing dishes. They could be paying bills still.
Sure. And the motivation's just not there. To cook properly
They're
for
tired.
Themselves. They're tired or it's like, you know, like you said, cheese and crackers. Did you have dinner? Yeah, I did.
Yeah. What'd you eat? Oh, I don't know. Something was in the fridge.
Right. I know I had one client, the adult child was telling me how after a while, because we had discussions and he started kind of monitoring the fridge and this and that and found out that over the course of a month, his dad looked like he ate one hot dog a day, every day, and that was it. And his health wasn't good. Hard to believe.
Yep.
You know, they called it the Kowalski syndrome, I think, but no. Just kidding. So, but yeah, no, that's a great point. I didn't know that, though, that 80% of falls are caused by that.
Oh,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's funny because when I'm at my classes and I'm talking to people, a lot of times, the families are visiting their loved ones in the building And I get there early and I'm chit-chatting with the family member and they'll tell me what happened and I'll just guess and I'll just say, did she have a urinary tract infection? How did you know?
Right.
I'm a mind reader.
That's it. That's it. Now, would you like to know the lottery numbers? So
now we're going to get into assisted living.
Okay.
So assisted living is my passion because I've worked there for 4 years. And again, private pay. Mm-hmm. But these are for folks that really need a lot of care. So you're wheelchair bound.
Okay.
You are need more monitoring as far as having a nurse there 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You are paying, you know, for that service as well. And you have to qualify to live in an assisted living as well as independent livings too.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think, well, $2,000, I'm going to get my mom in there who's in a wheelchair and needs all this care and see if we can take care of her. Well, they go out and they assess you. And all these places, independent, assisted livings, and memory cares, they all come out and they assess you.
Right.
So if you are not a fit for that building and if you need more care and they can't handle you, you don't get to go. And it's the same thing with assisted living. So I have to say they will take a little bit of an independent person because, but who wants to pay $5,000 when you can be paying $2,000?
Sure.
You know, a lot of things would happen. Sometimes what happens with assisted livings is when they are going into an assisted living and they are, let's say they had a urinary tract infection, they thought mom had dementia. So they go in and they're being assessed and they think, oh gosh, this is, we noticed some dementia coming on with her, but now it's exacerbated. And then she had the urinary tract infection.
Right.
I think she really needs to go into a dementia community. We've put them in the dementia community and we've seen them come out of their fog when we move them into assisted living, which lowers the price. And people, you need to know that. Just because they're in memory care and they've started there doesn't mean if you see changes, you can insist on moving them into assisted living. Because guess what that building does not want you to do is move them out.
No, of course not. That's how they make their money.
Exactly. So they will work with you on that. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. But
and something that, just a little side note on that, and I'm sure you've seen this, but we've seen a million times where people, once they moved into a community or facility or whatnot, and they start getting proper nutrition and hydration.
Oh, yes.
That they get healthier.
They do.
That they, all of a sudden, it's like, this isn't the same person. So that's a good point that you got to keep an eye on that. And if it comes to that point, hey, it's time for a reevaluation. And let's see if we can, because you could probably, you could probably go from skilled nursing to independent.
You could. Yeah.
You know, depending
absolutely. Yep. And the other thing, too, is it works reversal, too, as far as assisted living. And let's say you got that little bit of dementia going on. You can move into an assisted living. You do not have to go right into dementia care or memory care right away. You can go into the assisted, see how it progresses. And as she declines, or if they are a risk of leaving the building, then they would go into a secured unit.
Right. Which in memory care, they'll have it closed off. But something to keep in mind, a lot of folks that I've spoke with, they'll say, mom or dad's getting, some dementia. Well, not necessarily. They're just older and they don't remember things as well.
Yeah.
And I know I've had some clients down in Tennessee that we had this conversation, and I'm always a big believer, push them to an expert.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, oh, yeah, dementia. Well, no, they're 84, 85. They're just forgetting things. That's it. Maybe you should see a specialist before you make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is, when the nurse comes out, they do what is called a mini mental test on the patient or the resident. And that is something that can be done right then and there. And then that kind of determines where they fall in the dementia realm. As far as how much care they need.
Now, what's on it? I mean, do you have any aspect of like one example of what they might do?
Draw a clock. Like there's the face of a clock, but then put your numbers in and do 3 o'clock on the clock.
Okay.
Yep. So that's one thing. They'll say, I'm going to give you 3 words, apple, car, school. And then they talk for about 40 minutes and then say, I asked you to remember three words in the beginning, what were they? Come on, Rich.
Right. No, that's cool. I was actually thinking, you know, all these millennials, they won't be able to
see
draw
if paying attention to me.
Oh, yeah. Apple school. But all these kids today, they're digital. They'll say draw a clock, you know, 20 years from now, they'll be like, yeah, no. You know?
Right. They don't know how to tell time.
Right. So they're going to be.
It's 3:42.
Oh, that's too funny. So that's pretty interesting that they can just, they come in and do those types of tests.
Yes.
That's neat.
Then you can get into some really heavy duty testing too, and you can have a professional do it at a, you know, you set up an appointment. It's like 3 hours of testing.
Holy moly.
Yes. Put a senior through that one. And that's one of the complaints that they've been getting is because it's a great test, but it is a driving test right then and there to see if they're able to drive.
Wow.
It is all these, you know, and it's the mini mental, and it's they go through everything there. They go through the meds. They go through the testing and asking the questions. They go through the driving simulator to determine if they are able to drive or not.
Which, talking about when you start breaching the subject of moving to an independent or a skilled nursing community and such, and you get throwback from that elder, wait till you talk to them about taking that car away. Oh, my goodness. They want to beat you with every Beach Boy album that was ever made.
I have heard so many stories about people that have tried to take the keys away, and they decided they were going – I don't know if you ever heard this – when they disconnected the – battery out of the car.
Yep.
And the adult parent called a car repairman to come out and rehooked it up.
Oh, how funny.
And when they had a lucid moment and said, oh, somebody disconnected my battery. I got my car running again.
So now I got to tell you about my mama real quick because we're from the South. So that's, you know, the conversion rate here is grandmother. So we had that with her. And then one day, and she was at a little independent community, and it was kind of, you know, this is down South, it's hilly. She looked over her shoulder, put her car in gear, hit the gas, went up over the parking block.
Backwards.
Frontwards.
Oh.
And down a 24-foot hill into a creek. And that's when she said, well, maybe I should stop driving now. Yeah.
Was she okay?
She was fine.
Oh, she's like a rubber band or a ball in there, just bouncing around like, you know.
We'll have to have cocktail. I'll tell you stories about this. She was one of the most incredible people that ever lived.
Wow, did she have nine lives?
She was just full of spit and vinegar.
Wow. Oh, that's where you get it from.
My daughter reminds me of her. But
paybacks.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Went for a driving test at 65, and as she pulled up, she threw her door open. A car came by, swiped the door off. Oh. This is true. And then the guy comes out and says, well, we really can't do the test. And she's like, oh, no, we're doing the test.
Oh.
She did the test. She had to have I think it was my dad or one of my uncles come down there and remove the rest of the door so that they could drive off and do the test. Right? So that gives you a little
perspective. That's only in where? Tennessee?
That was in Kentucky.
Oh, there you go. Only in Kentucky.
Only in Kentucky, I'm telling you. Get your door tore off and still pass your test. Yes. So, but anyway, going back to check our time here.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we only got a few more minutes. All right. We got a lot to cover. So going on, we've talked a little bit about skilled nursing, independent. Let's and you start segueing a little bit into memory care, so you may as well go into that.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of communities, they could be dual assisted living and memory care. Mm-hmm. There's some communities that are just strictly memory care. But I don't think there's any out there that are strictly just assisted living. It could be all three, independent, assisted living, and memory care in one community as well.
Which is nice if you have a husband and wife. We've had several clients like that where one was in memory care and one was in independent living, and they had lunches and dinners together.
Yep. So that's really convenient for families. Mm-hmm. The other thing too, that's available are adult foster care homes, which is called the AFC home as well. Okay. And a lot of people think that that is for drug rehabilitation, but that is not the case. This is, a lot of communities that are out there now are geriatric related, and it is maybe a 6-bed, a 10-bed.
Okay.
What qualifies them for an AFC home or an adult foster care home is if it's 20 beds or less, and it's just just really licensing. And I'm going to go back on the licensing thing.
Okay.
So when it comes to assisted living and dementia care, they most of the time, 99% of the time, they are licensed communities, which means the state comes in and they observe everything that's going on when they want to. If you have a complaint and you want to file a complaint against the building because you feel your loved one is not being taken care of, you can call them at any time.
Okay.
And then a representative from the state, which is assigned to those buildings, will go out and see what the situation is. Is the family always right? No. I mean, it could be a situation that needed to be handled at that appropriate time.
Right.
When it was happening, that was the best thing we could do at that time.
And they're not always wrong either, though. So,
yeah.
Got to look at both sides of that coin.
Right, right. But you know what? There's always two sides to every story.
Sure.
So, you know, they always call in the caregiver. They call in what the situation happened. It's kind of like Judge Judy for a hot minute there. So they usually that's what happens there. And I really like that. When I was selling that building, I like the fact that if we're doing something wrong.
Oh, for sure.
Call the state on us.
Absolutely.
So
accountability is a good thing.
But I had confidence in saying that because I know they weren't going to call the state.
Well, that's it.
And here's when you know you have a good building is when you call that executive director to say, I'm having a problem here. Mom hasn't been bathed in 3 or 4 days and I want to see what's happening. And you get a phone call back or you don't get the phone call back. When you're not getting phone calls back from that executive director, that's where you need to go,
Sure.
Not everyone runs their companies that way.
Right. So, Karen, can someone contact the state and see if there was things applied
absolutely.
To this building or complaints?
So you can go on to the LARA, L-A-R-A, which is Licensing and Regulation Affairs.
Yep.
And you can Google assisted livings to come up and you put in the county that you want and you will see all of their ratings, what they've got.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, you can see what's wrong. You can tell a lot with any community that you want to go to.
Okay.
Not independent living, though. Only
sure.
if it is an assisted living and it's got a license attached to
right,
it.
Right, right.
So that's what that's what I encourage people to do. When you are looking for a community, you want to see how many strikes against them. You hear that stuff on the news? It's on that website, let me tell you.
That's great. That's just very insightful. And that's LARA, LARA.gov. I'm on there. If you want to check me out.
You are.
But I did not know that those communities, I just never thought of it, quite frankly.
Yeah. So going back to memory care, though, one of the things that I always suggest to some of my clients when they call me for help is they'll say, you know, I've looked into these memory cares and they're $7,000-$8,000.
Yeah.
My mom is really end of life on this memory care situation. She is at the, you know, not end of life, but maybe from a 1 to a 10, she's a 10. And she's not end of life, but she needs a lot of care.
Right.
You can go into these adult foster care homes, which are beautiful. They are private homes. Some people, most of the owners live there. And they take care of the guests. They take care of all of their residents that live there. There's only 6 people that live there, and they're like half the cost. Could be $3,500 starting out, and then they only go up to $4,500, maybe $5,000 max.
What a huge difference!
So again, if your mom's like 10 on the range of for dementia, and if she's not that higher number, you can probably count on maybe $5,000 max for that, and that's until end of life. Again, they can stay there. Hospice can come in and you can, you know.
And they are licensed through LARA, so you can look them up.
Yeah. And I highly recommend that doing that for any community that you are interested in going into.
And that's just a huge difference. And having that kind of knowledge, I mean, what a difference. What a difference. Now, will Medicaid cover any of that? Or
no, all private pay.
Just all private pay.
Medicaid will only cover the long-term care communities. Long-term care. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have long-term care insurance.
What a difference it makes.
Yes, it does. So that policy that your parents have been paying on all these years that you don't know what it is,
right.
Look into it.
That's
it's not
huge.
Blue Cross. It's not Blue Shield. It's going to be John Hancock, I'm trying to think of
Any of the independents.
Yeah. I mean, but
sure.
some people think they look at that stuff, they don't know what it is.
Right.
And you have to ask your loved one, did you ever pay on a long-term care insurance policy? A lot of teachers have done that. A lot of postal workers have done that.
Sure.
Because they offered it through their union.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, they were paying, you know, they paid for it, and it's super inexpensive back then, and now it's time to use it.
Right.
Because it will cover it all day long, and all these communities take that long-term care insurance, because let me tell you, they love that insurance because they know they're getting paid from that insurance company.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
And if you're thinking about looking into it, the optimum time to really look into that is when you're 60.
Yes.
That's kind of that point where, because it gets expensive. You go into it when you're looking at 75.
Yes.
That's quite the cha-chinger.
It is.
So everything I've read on it is, and now they have some new products coming out where they're annuities based.
Yes.
That can, you know, well, looking, that's
contact
different
your
story.
Financial planner.
Right. But it's definitely something if you're ever in that need, having that insurance can make a difference on, for the family.
Mm-hmm. So one other thing that I want to mention.
Go ahead.
Did you have a question?
Well, no. I wanted to make sure we talked about respite.
That's what I was going to
get
into.
Okay, good, because that's so important.
Yes, people don't have no clue that that's available.
Yes.
Out there, and they don't quite understand what that means. So respite care is when you are taking care of a loved one, and you want to go on vacation. Who's going to watch mom or dad, or who's going to take care of them?
Or go grocery shopping.
Well, respite care is a little bit long term.
Okay.
Long term. There's two ways of doing this. So there's overnighting it for maybe, depends, a minimum of maybe 1 to 2 weeks, depending on where you're looking. You go into a community and your loved one goes into a community for 1 to 2 weeks while you go on vacation.
Sure.
And they treat them just like they're a new person in that building, and they take them down to the lunches and dinners and all that. And usually that's done in like an assisted living memory care, because those people really can't be left alone for a long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got to say, independent living, probably they offer that too.
They have respites.
They do.
Independent living. And you can actually, and they prefer if you do a couple of weeks. You can do 2 to 3 days, but they do prefer a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And there's some of the elder daycares too.
Yeah, that was the other thing I was going to mention, is the adult daycare centers. I know they have a new name for that, and
yeah,
I can't remember what it is. It's not daycare center.
No,
but
I was trying to think of the same thing. I'm like,
yeah. And usually those are for dementia clients, 90% of them that are in there. But it's, you got to go to work.
Right.
They're living with you. Your mom and dad are living with you. You pay $80 a day, and you can get your meals. They can give them medications. They can even bathe them if that's the case. Because a lot of times with dementia patients, they do not want to be bathed.
No.
And I've learned through a lot of techniques that I learned over the years, it's just keeping that shower or that bathroom really warm.
Okay.
Keeping them comfortable. Because I was having an issue with my mom when she was getting bathed, and she was like, Karen, I hate the showers they give me here. I'm like, really? Well, they know the techniques. Well, it wasn't the people working at the community. It was the hospice aides coming in, because my mom was on hospice.
Ah.
And I went in one morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, because that's where they, when they took her showers. And I walked in and I said, I want to see what's going on with the showers,
right,
because I know you guys are the experts and I want to see how you do this. And my mom's complaining that she doesn't like the showers. Okay. So they're showing me. They're wrapping her, and it's our fault. We only had certain size towels there.
Okay.
And they were like just a little, not much bigger than a hand towel, but these were all of her own towels that we took from her home.
Ah.
Super small. They would wheel her into the shower. They would lather her up. They'd rinse her down. They would roll her out sopping wet and then dry her off. They did not cover her in that towel in that warm bathroom. They rolled her out super cold. Think about it, walking out
sure.
a room with your head wet, your body wet, and it's cold outside.
Right.
It's just not, you know, it's in the middle of winter. And in these rooms too, their air conditioning unit, their heating cooling unit is one of those that blow off the wall like in the,
sure,
you know, so you've got that air. I said, this is the problem here. So where was I going with this?
Well, I think it's, you know, we got to wrap up here, but.
Oh.
I've got to tell
I'm
you.
I'm Italian. I can talk forever.
Yeah. That's an amazing tip in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, this has just been great talking with you and such great insight, and I hope people get a lot out of it. But we have a couple minutes, so I would like, if you're a social worker, if you're who else that needs continuing education credits,
yes.
let's push your bids a little bit.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So if you are a social worker or a nurse and you are looking for continuing education classes, I do them all. They are all complimentary. You can go to my website, which is CE, as in continuing ed, CE Health Link, LINK. So it's CEHEALTHLINK. NK.com. So, yeah, feel free. I would love to have you come to my classes. They're great information. It's a win-win for everybody. Who doesn't like free food?
And you have companies sponsor it, and that's how it's...
We do. We have sponsors that pay me to get in front of the social workers and nurses.
So if you want to be a sponsor, what should they do?
Absolutely. They can contact me, and you can get in front of anywhere between 40 and 50 social workers and nurses at one of my classes. And it's just a great way to market your building, and people get referrals from them.
Yeah. Well, it's like you said, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah.
Because, heck, they get their CEs, credits from experts. And you get a company that is in that field that, hey, social workers, every social worker we've ever seen is crazy busy.
Yes.
So, but thank you so much for coming out, Karen. I'm telling you, this was awesome.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah,
hope
and we'll have to do it again.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we'll have a cocktail. We'll exchange stories about
I'll be BYOB.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we hope you found this interesting. You can download this podcast off DetroitPodcast.com, Baby Boomer University, or BabyBoomerUniversity.com. And just thank you, and class is dismissed.